Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I have a special treat for you. I know I say that, but I really mean it because I've had some great guests and today's is just fabulous. You're going to get a lot out of this, especially women, but also couples. And our guest today is Dr. Kate Levinson. She is a psychotherapist and she's written the book Emotional Currency, A Woman's Guide to Building a Healthy Relationship with Money. And one of the topics we're going to get to, besides talking about the book, we're going to talk about couples and money. And let me do a quick introduction of Dr. Levinson. She runs a private practice in Oakland. She holds a PhD in clinical psychology. So she's not just said, hey, this is a subject I want to write about. She walks the walk and talks the talk and works with couples in her practice every day. She's a member of the teaching and supervising faculty at the Psychotherapy Institute and also has taught and supervised students at JFK's University Graduate School of Clinical Psychology. That's a mouthful, but it's a lot of credibility. Welcome to the program, Dr. Levinson.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
It's my pleasure. And the doctor gave me permission to call her Kate, and I'm going to do that. Kate, I'm excited about our subject because I think this is one of the areas for many couples where they get tripped up. And it's no accident that when people get married, if they're getting married in a church or maybe another organization might require this, is that there are classes or pre-cana on, part of it includes finances, because these organizations, including the institutions and churches, know that this is a challenging area and it's not new. It's been this way probably forever. And so this is a big deal. This is a big topic.
It is, and it's so hard for us to talk about money. It's so hard for us to be reflective about money, to understand it psychologically in our own lives, and then to talk about it with our partners or family members. It's a challenge for all of us.
Well, and you know, I plan to write a book. I'll go ahead and tell you. You'll get a kick out of this. I've got a book in my head that I haven't gotten to yet. I'm going to call it Big Dogs That Can Talk, Men, Marriage, and Money. Okay, and have women help me, all my clients that are women, have them help me write it, but, you know, real life stories. But I think one of the challenges that often you hear about is that men sometimes don't communicate, okay, guilty. We know, a lot of us men know that. So you take that inability or lack of desire or just don't have the skills or the tools to communicate well with the opposite sex and our partner, take that and then pour gasoline in the form of money on that. And you've got a real challenge on your hands.
Well, yeah, and to recognize that money is still a taboo topic in our culture. So none of us, women included, I should say very few of us, are really comfortable talking about money.
Well, and I guess that's really one of the most fundamental things, and I'm sure you talk about this in your book, Emotional Currency. Why is it so taboo?
It still perplexes me. I mean, I've been looking at money for a very long time, with men and with women, and in my own training as a psychotherapist, we never talked about money. Money was not considered a topic of psychological health, a worthy topic of psychological life.
Wow.
And so it just astounded me when I realized, when I came to see through my own experience, that I had a lot of feelings about money, feelings that I'd pushed away,
yeah.
But that I never, in my own personal therapy and my own training, we never talked about money. So the taboo is alive and well. And I'm not exactly sure why it is so strong, but it is that strong.
Do you know if we see this in other countries, other cultures, not just an American-centric viewpoint? Because we could certainly come up with some theories about our culture here. What do we see in other cultures? Are there similar taboos?
Yes, in some, and others, it's a topic of conversation. I've talked to several Chinese or Chinese-Americans who, when they go back to their families, the first thing the family asks in China is, are you making enough money? What are you making?
Wow. They ask that flat out.
Yes.
Wow.
And in my book, I recount that a woman that I knew went to China on a business trip, and the person that she was with asked the wait person how much her salary was. So in some cultures, money does not carry, in our culture, it carries everything, right? It touches every aspect of our lives, and it has to do with success and stature and love and how we see one another. We judge ourselves and we judge others for how much they have or don't have. We have a lot of shame around money. We hide. It's a secret. And so I think it's especially, and we're the wealthiest nation that has existed. So money and this culture is particularly difficult, I think. In some other cultures, other things count more than money. In French culture, for instance, one's knowledge about culture and the world influences how one's stature in the society. Here, not so much. Money really is the measure for so much.
Money and power, that's why they're interchangeable.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, this is fascinating. I have to remind myself I'm actually hosting the program, Kate. I'm sitting back listening to you, enjoying this. Dr. Kate Levinson is our guest. The book is Emotional Currency, A Woman's Guide to Building a Healthy Relationship with Money, and the website is emotionalcurrency.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Kate Levinson is our guest, psychotherapist. She has a PhD in clinical psychology, and she is in private practice in Oakland and is working with people every day on the subject of relationships and money and other subjects. You mentioned before the break, Kate, about other cultures and how some it's much more openly talked about, the subject of money. And are there some that are worse than we are, I guess, in terms of being closed off about it, or do we take the cake?
Well, I'm really not expert at
okay.
this, but I do know that people who come to my workshop, men and women from other cultures, often have a more comfortable
okay.
relationship with
money.
Okay, so
we tend to be on the extreme.
Certainly on the extreme. And part of my message and part of your message in your work and in your radio shows is that we need to talk about it, that we need to go through the awkward feelings and the discomfort, the shame, that comes with breaking a taboo, but that there's so much benefit that comes when we can have conversations and figure out actually what we bring to the table in our relationship.
Yeah, and this doesn't have to be something we tell all of our friends or that we put on a billboard. We're talking about in the couple relationship.
In the couple relationship and finding professionals that help us, and also among our friends, finding a friend or two trustworthy to talk about money, not someone who's going to be competitive with you or judge you, but especially for women, I find, because we talk with one another about so much. That's how we learn. And so the taboo is, I think, especially destructive for women. And the talking, finding a friend that we can talk to, there's a wealth of benefit that comes. Because part of the problem in our relationship with money is that we feel isolated. We feel like we're the only ones, when that's so far from the truth. You know that probably better than anyone.
Well, that's very true. And I guess, you know, I made a long list of questions, and I know I won't get to all of them, but this is a fascinating subject to me. And one of the things that I know that you can help us understand, and you probably have this in your book as well, the emotional currency. Do men and women think about money or view money differently? The role in the relationship that money has, the role that each of them have as it relates to money in the relationship, and just what money means to them.
So whenever I talk about money, I always feel, and you may feel this too, that I'm not doing an adequate job, because it's such a huge topic. Looking at money emotionally and psychologically, it's such a huge topic. It's hard to get our arms completely around it and to give voice to all the truth, because money's very idiosyncratic. We each have our own, much as we have our own thumbprint, we have our own relationship to money, which, when we look at money financially, that's not the truth. But when we look at money emotionally, that's the truth. So that's the first thing I want to say, which is that we each have our own relationship to money. Mm. Money's an emotional currency. It's not just about dollars and cents. But there are some ways that men and women are different, in part because of our brain physiology, and in part because of the culture.
Mm, expectations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way we've been treated
right,
for generations and generations. So one of the things that's different is that women, relationship is the most valuable part of women's lives. For many women, not 100%, but that we care about relationship a lot, and we're very attuned to reading cues and to attending to other people's needs. And so that's true in our relationship to money, too, that we can sometimes keep ourselves out of the financial equation, right? We take care of other people's needs first, and we're left with less. And we're also very sensitive to differences in how much we have and other people have. Again, careful to take care of other people, but that we recognize that inequalities in financial resources impact our relationships.
Yeah.
So we notice that.
Well, you know, when you're describing that, the thing that struck me, and I've seen it in my own personal life, you know, my wife is much better about being sensitive to other people and in how the topic of money, if it ever comes up, or just in how we spend money or how we interact with other couples. You know, you go together to buy somebody something, you know, a gift, and she's very tuned into being very sensitive. So I think you hit it, you nailed it, Kate, that women are definitely more tuned into. And again, this is a broad generalization, and everybody's an individual, but I can see that. And I am not speaking for my gender, but I'm not maybe as sensitive to that, or I of course try to be, but not as always tuned into it, I guess, as my frequency is not as finely adjusted as hers is.
That's right, and there's not a right or wrong way. It's just to recognize the difference, right? Because it also, we as women can get too hung up in the differences, or feel less entitled to having more, or we have difficulty asking for more, right? It's classic that in negotiations for salaries that women generally don't ask.
Yeah.
And that's part, it contributes to their having less money.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for ourselves is hard. And so some of it is learning from each other, listening and being curious about how the other person is, not judging ourselves for being wrong or judging them for being wrong, our partners, but learning a more balanced approach to money.
Very good. Dr. Kate Levinson is our guest today, and she's a psychotherapist, PhD in clinical psychology. And we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Kate Levinson is our guest, and I have a Yiddish proverb for you. We talked about cultures, Kate, in different parts of the world, how they view money. There's a Yiddish proverb that's actually inscribed on a little money clip I found one time, and I had to buy it. It says, "With money in your pocket, you're handsome, you're funny, and you sing well, too."
That's great.
There you have it. I've been trying to find the right opportunity to share that with you, so I figured I'd get it on the way back. I think this is a very interesting subject, and one of the other things I wanted to get to, because I think it's very relevant, and of course I know you cover this and much more in your book Emotional Currency, and the website again is emotionalcurrency.com, is for women. Again, this speaks to the relationship they have with money, and then also some of the taking care of everybody else's needs first aspect of women's relationship with money. Is there have been studies done, and I'm sure you've seen them, that many women feel a real, and this is true as you know, women are, maybe if they're on their own or if they are as they get older, they have a real fear of becoming homeless or, you know, a bag lady, that they have that real fear. And a study I saw recently really surprised me. Even among women, the study found even among women that are have income over $200,000 a year, a full 25% of them still had the real fear that they would become homeless.
Absolutely. So much of our fears about money don't have to do with how much money we have in the bank account, right? And this is such a graphic example of it, that very successful women carry that fear.
That it could all be taken away.
Yeah.
Is that a power thing?
But yeah. Men don't tend to feel that, right? Mm. Because I think in part it has to do with women feeling vulnerable in ways that men don't.
Yeah.
It also has to do with, we know lots of women who maybe aren't bag ladies, but who have really suffered financially through divorce, through inattention to their finances, through making less than men. Women and children are the poorest of the poor.
Yeah.
So it comes from a lot of different places, and that it's relatively new that women actually have control and access to money.
Well, what's fascinating about that, and I kid around sometimes with men when I'm working with the women and men with a couple, a lot of times I will remind the man, because sometimes they need this reminder. You like my 2x4 I use sometimes, Kate, and I say, You're just along for the ride, man. You're a temporary custodian, because she's going to live longer than you are. This is really hers. You just happen to be involved, okay?
Yeah.
Because sometimes they need to be reminded of that because of the average life expectancy, especially if you have an age difference. And then we look at longevity in their families. I work with a lot of women who come to me who have been either divorced or widowed, and there's another statistic out there that a lot of women will change their financial advisors when they are divorced or widowed, at something like 60%. I read a study the other day, and so a lot of them are looking for that attention to their needs. But you know, it's a very interesting thing because of how all of this plays out over time. But you're right, there is this new found or new experience for women being much more involved with money.
Yes, and that legally for so many years we were kept from that.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a tidal shift right now that's happening. And I'm sure what's best if women can get involved at a younger age than when they get divorced or when there's a crisis.
Well, I have a rule in my office that I don't mind if one of the couple, man or woman, comes in for the first appointment, but even if they come back in, but I don't make recommendations about what they should do without both present.
That's right. That's right.
Because you just got to be involved.
You want both people aware at least of what's going on, what the assets are, and so that there aren't horrible secrets down the road.
Well, you know,
that when you get a divorce and you're in a really vulnerable state, you have to make major decisions.
Well, not only that, two things. One, I can tell you there's been plenty of times because I have a 32-inch flat screen on my wall, and I put up a sheet. It's a page of a PowerPoint that says, here's everything you got that I'm looking at, that I'm analyzing. And plenty of times I've had one of the spouses, and often the woman, look up at it and go, And her exact words are, I didn't know we had that.
Right.
Okay, I'm like, well, thank God you're here.
Yeah.
But you know, you spoke to divorce, and boy, if there's a woman listening to this program that doesn't know what they've got, shame on them.
Yeah.
You better know, because
You can't really afford these days to not be educated.
And we've got another big shift happening, which is this, the graying of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
A larger and larger percentage of women and men empowered, and that's the overused word, but women are seeking the divorce often in that older divorce or later life divorce. And a lot of that has to do with the shifting of the culture, and also has to do with longevity, and the woman or man saying, you know, we live to 65, another 5 or 10 years would be okay, but we're going to live to 90. I don't think I'm going to be around for this.
Right. And also because more women have earned income themselves.
Good point. So they don't look at it as his.
They have the option to leave, you know, and they're among the younger generation, they're reporting a lot of instability in terms of relationships and marriage, that men have trouble with women who out-earn them. And I think it's something like a quarter of the marriages where both spouses work now, that women are over-earning men. So it's a source of a lot of cultural stress and tension in our society right now. A lot of change is happening.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's not just an interesting curiosity. It will be a major impact. And, you know, you say a quarter, it'll be, at some point, it'll be 40, 45%, whatever it ends up being. And, you know, the wealth in this country, if I recall the statistic, it's actually over 50% controlled by women today.
That's right. So we have incredible power to make changes in terms of how we spend our resources, how we invest our resources, and how we relate to money. And my hope is that women touching money more will change for the good our relationship to money as a culture, because we're kind of at a low point, right, in terms of ethics and in terms of greed and in terms of distrust of financial institutions and professionals, and that hopefully that kind of some new blood, some new life, new ideas, that we can really influence, get the culture back to some basics that I think we've lost in terms of our relationship to money. And for me, as a therapist, I think that's all an inside job. That's all about being curious about when we buy something, how it feels to spend money, or when we get a big bill, or when we're asked for donation, to look at it emotionally and to look at it in terms of what do I value in my life, and where do I want to put my energies? What's important to me? That, you know, money is just an amazing mirror for seeing what's important to us.
Amen to that. We're going to take another quick break, Kate, and we'll be right back. The book is Emotional Currency, A Woman's Guide to Building a Healthy Relationship with Money. Dr. Kate Levinson, we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Kate Levinson has been our guest today. She's a psychotherapist, a PhD in clinical psychology, practicing in Oakland. And we've been talking about the relationship that women and men and couples have with money. And one of the things that I want to get to, we've got a couple minutes left, Kate, I want to get to, and I know you've talked about this, I'm sure, at length in your book, Emotional Currency. How can couples have a meaningful conversation? And I want to tweak that, a safe conversation about money.
Well, I think that you start by carving out time on a regular basis. So it's not just when there's a crisis. So important to find vocabulary with one another, to find ways to talk about money when you're not in a crisis and having to make a big decision. And a great way to get to know each other, if you don't already know, is to ask questions of one another about how money was in the family that you grew up in. Because that influences us so much. It's often alive and well in all sorts of ways, including money. What our experiences were growing up, how our parents dealt with money, how they felt about what they had, who made decisions, were there fights, what was it like to be the kid when there were fights. Endless questions that you could ask about anything else in your spouse's life pretty easily. And then just include money. Ask it with the focus of money.
And then when you ask that, then you follow up and say, and how did that make you feel? Or how does that make you feel? You got to get that in there, right?
Absolutely. And that you listen.
Yeah.
That you don't.
Yeah, the listening part's important.
Right. It's called active listening, yeah. Which means you're not worried about what you're going to say or commenting.
And you're not
or
trying
telling
to solve
them
it.
What they should, exactly. That you're just listening to understand, because you want to understand what goes on with the other person. Why are they spending money as if, you know, it's an endless amount of money without any caution? Why are they doing that? If you're not judging it and saying, oh, my God, it's putting me at risk, you know, if you can understand what's going on, then there are all sorts of other solutions or negotiations that can happen. But without understanding what drives this behavior, money's talking in some way. What's money saying?
Oh, I like that. Money's talking, and what's it saying? And we better listen and find out what is it really saying, because there's something else underneath, right?
Exactly. And we have lots of ideas about how we are with money, which may or may not have anything to do with actually how we are. And sometimes as a spouse, you can see that. You can see through it. And so you want to understand what is underneath that. What is underneath? What's contributing to my partner being afraid that she's going to be a bag lady, or my husband, you know, not being able to send money.
Or be the provider he'd like to be.
Yeah. And because they're very poignant stories. When we get to the dramas and the stories, they're very touching.
Well, you know what, Kate? We're going to have you come back and talk to us some more, because we're out of time for today.
Thank you so much, David.
My pleasure. Dr. Kate Levinson, ladies and gentlemen, psychotherapist, clinical psychologist, PhD in the subject. The book is Emotional Currency. That's the website, emotionalcurrency.com, A Woman's Guide to Building Healthy Relationships with Money. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, David.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.